Welcome to the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast, where each week, Samantha Johnston, brand developer to the creative and confused, and Nicole Hoagland, small biz and confidence coach to the creatives, are having entrepreneurs share their real stories and tips about their honest and authentic success in business and how they have been able to lead boldly by being themselves. They are creating a movement to show you how to create your own version of success and empower you to be beautifully bold in your business.
On this episode, we have Tanya Rainier. Tanya is the energy behind the Profit Party. She's an innovative money mindset coach who helps women entrepreneurs discover their value, supercharge their profit potential, and get off the financial roller coaster for good. She is dedicated to revolutionizing the way women think and feel about money and business. Whether she is speaking, training, or coaching, Tanya's purpose shines through in all that she does. Tanya's action-oriented style gives women actionable tools to gain control of their finances, transform their beliefs about money, and dramatically increase their income. Hey, everyone, and thank you so much for joining us on today's episode of the Beautifully Bold in Business podcast. I'm Nicole.
And I'm Samantha.
And today we have Tanya on. Tanya, we are so excited to have you here. We always like to start these episodes. Could you tell us a little bit about your kickstart moment?
My kickstart moment in business was unplanned. I was laid off from a corporate job a little sooner than I was hoping to. So I got a real job, and that's quotations that you can't see me making, with the intention of being an entrepreneur at some point. And I was going to use the corporate job as leverage to make connections and start to build my community, which was a great plan when you have time. They laid my division off 11 months after bringing me into the company. So I thought I had like another 2 years, and I didn't. So lemons to lemonade. I'm like, well, I guess I'm starting my own business today, a little sooner than I had planned. So that was my kickstart into the world of entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm. And having it being unplanned tends to also be like the best possible way to start some things, because we can plan all we want. But when all of a sudden we're forced to do something, that's when we get the best results, I feel like.
Yeah, I feel like for so many things, my children weren't planned either, but you know, they're here. So sometimes if everything is planned, we tend to over plan, and that perfectionism kind of sets in and we're never going to be ready. It's impossible to be ready for everything and all that's going to come. You just kind of got to jump and hope that the parachute opens on the way down.
Yeah, no. And I have to agree with you. My first was unplanned. So that and along with business, everything was a little bit unplanned, but I feel like it gets this fire underneath you. And I think that if we're given too much time to plan, we never find that right moment. And so when it's unplanned and you're kind of thrown into the fire, you just figure things out and realize that you really didn't have to plan as much as you thought you did.
No, right. Because I think most of us already have everything we need. It's just fear. It's our own self-doubt, our own limiting beliefs that get in the way, and they make us question, do we know enough? Are we good enough? Are we ready? You know, and that's what propels us into that never-ending cycle of perpetual learning, because there's always going to be more to learn. There's always going to be somebody we can look to for, you know, more advice and more wisdom and more knowledge, who has more experience. And if we try to get it before we start, we're never going to start.
And it's giving yourself permission to just start and allow yourself to learn over the journey of your entrepreneurship. Because in hindsight, we can plan all we want, but if we actually fail to start, then we failed with our planning.
Very true. Very insightful. See, that's the wisdom that's the wisdom we're talking about.
I've had like 3 coffee dates already today, so I feel like my wisdom level is going to go strictly down after this podcast recording.
Did you have coffee on all 3 coffee dates?
Yes, thankfully, yes.
Well, then we've got you. You're good for another hour.
We'll see.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, Tanya, you mentioned that you'd always wanted to be an entrepreneur, and the plan was to have the real job that helped you get there. So what really made you want to be an entrepreneur? And because I know a little bit of your backstory, tell us about the journey you've been on, because I know what you're doing now isn't what you necessarily started with.
Right. I'm bad at following directions. And I'm a little bit rebellious, which comes from my teenage years. I was on my own for a good portion of my teenage life. My mom was a drug addict, so she wasn't very good at the whole parental supervision thing. So I ran the streets. I was homeless for a couple months. And when you do that at such a young age, you kind of like get that ego, like, I'm good. I got this. Like, you don't own me. You can't tell me what to do. And it doesn't go away. It gets better as you get older because you get mature and you learn that you don't know everything. I learned that from falling flat on my face enough times that I could learn from other people, but the freedom aspect stayed with me. Where I got a taste of that freedom and thought, this is great. I don't want to be tied down to anybody's rules ever. And when I started to work and actually get jobs, I'm like, ew, you have rules. Like, you're telling me when I can work and when I can, I have to ask you for time off. If I want to take a vacation, I have to make sure it's okay with you. Like, that sucks. I don't want to do this. So I'm like, well, there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a way that I can float through this life and still make money, but with freedom where I don't have to answer to anybody. So entrepreneurship was the way for me to do that. And I just didn't know what that looked like. So I was one of those people that I'm like, okay, great. I want to be my own boss, but like, what do I want to do? I don't have any passions. I don't feel like I have this calling. There's not an obvious answer. And growing up, my dad was a contractor. And when I was real young and my parents, you know, they were divorced, he would take my sister and I on side jobs with him. So we learned how to do contractor stuff. So it was either we can sit and watch him, or if we helped him, we could go to the movies or go roller skating or something. So we learned how to do all this man stuff. So like drywall and plumbing and electrical and putting in floors, like all the things we learned how to do. So when I finally grew up and it was in my early 20s, got married, bought a house of my own, we were fixing it up, my husband and I. And people would come over and they're like, wow, you're really good at this. You know, you should do this for a living, you know? And I'm like, okay. So, okay, I guess I will. I don't know what else to do. So that is what propelled me. I went and got a degree in construction to be a builder, and my first corporate job had a little bit to do with interior design. So I was doing color, helping train architects and contractors and things in how to put color palettes together. And so when I got laid off, I'm like, okay, now what can I turn this into? Well, the obvious answer was interior design. So I started an interior design business, having no clue what I was doing. So we talk about jumping and hoping the net will appear or the, you know, the parachute will open. Total one of those moments. So yeah, that was my journey into interior design. So the money mindset thing came in when I realized that even though I was growing a very successful business, design business, I wasn't managing my money very well. And I was working my butt off, but I was still broke. I wasn't paying myself. I was working, you know, between 40 and 60 hours a week, and all the money was going back into the business. It was going out as fast as it was coming in. And so on the outside, I looked really successful until my accountant at the end of the year was like, you're an idiot. You should just get a job. Like, this is stupid. Clearly you don't know how to manage your money or you don't know how to run a business. So it was like a red flag. I was not about to go get a job. So I'm like, okay, how do I fix this? And I started digging into finance and, you know, reading Susie Orman books and Dave Ramsey books. And that was a nice surface solution. But the problem was that I had a very negative money mindset. I wasn't charging enough for my services and I was sabotaging, which meant as it was coming in, I had a fear of holding money because of my background. So like growing up with my mom, if I had money on me, it was stolen. If I had something of value, it was pawned. So I just felt like, oh gosh, if I want to enjoy my money, I have to spend it. And I have to spend it as fast as it comes in. So there was all these behaviors that I was engaging in that was really sabotaging my success. And until I addressed those, it didn't get better.
And once you address them, I mean, look what you have now. You're able to help others figure out what their fears around money are and help them go from negative to positive and go from spending or not having stuff to having an abundance of it. And you're utilizing your own personal passions and gifts for it, and you're not necessarily getting in your own way, which is amazing.
No, and you know what? It's great because I'm an empathetic person by nature. I tend to take on other people's emotions. So I think now it all makes sense in hindsight. Like, clearly God wanted me to, you know, have a horrible childhood for a reason. All of those, and I say that with love because I'm grateful for my experiences, because I understand those emotions. I understand the emotion of sacrifice and struggle and, you know, the adversity and the joy and confidence you get as a result of overcoming those. I wouldn't have that if I didn't have those experiences. So when I'm having a conversation with a client and they're telling me what they're going through, I'm like, oh yeah, like I've been there. I get it, which is helpful.
What, if anything, on a daily basis kind of inspires you to keep going down the path that you're going down with your business right now?
Honestly, it's the people that I work with, hearing their triumph stories. So if anybody that I work with, whether if they're a client or just somebody that I've helped along the way or given some advice to, they send me something and it like makes my day. Like it's an instant high because they're like, and I say this, it sounds funny, but like all these little baby birds that you've raised and like to see them get out of the nest and fly, you're like, oh, free, go be free, little birdie. Like it's just so exciting to see women step into their power and own their worth, because that means that they've looked in and they've recognized how valuable they really are. There's so many times where I will meet somebody and I see how brilliant and beautiful they are and they don't. And it breaks my heart. And you just want to be the mirror and say, can I just show you? I just want you to see yourself through my eyes so you can see how amazing you are and how valuable and how much you are helping change lives. That's worth something. You deserve to feel good about that. You deserve to be compensated for that. And so many of us don't allow that abundance in, and we don't allow ourselves to feel that way. Instead, we like associate guilt with charging, or, you know, guilt with abundance, or like there's something shameful or wrong about it, when really you deserve that. That's your key to freedom and, you know, having that life that you want to live and being able to impact more people and give back in bigger ways.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. So this is not a question that we normally ask, but it's just been something that's been coming up for me lately. So I'm just going to ask it anyway. What are your thoughts on the fear of, as being an entrepreneur, the fear of asking for it? Because that's something that's been coming up for a lot of people that I've been working with, and it's come up in my life where I've finally broken through that fear of asking, and it's actually opened up so many new possibilities for me. And I know probably for you, it's something that you see on a daily basis with your clients.
It's something I see, and it's something I still struggle with. And I'd be lying if I said I didn't, because it's associated to the fear of, it's either love or significance. So there's basic human needs. And if you follow Tony Robbins or even Maslow and his hierarchy of needs, they all kind of get jumbled together. But the basic things that we need to feel daily are love, a sense of love and connection, a sense of significance, and a sense of certainty, and also a sense of uncertainty. So there's got to be a healthy balance there. And what I see come up for women more often than not is money blocks in the two areas of love and connection or significance. So when we're afraid to ask for the sale or ask somebody to promote us or support us, we're afraid of losing that connection. We're afraid of putting some strain on that relationship. And because we value that relationship and that connection so much, we'd rather sacrifice ourselves and our own well-being and what we need rather than lose that connection. And it also, there's other times where that can be a fear of losing our expert status or our sense of significance. So if we put ourselves out there, do we look desperate? Do we look less of an expert in that sense? Are people going to think different? So there's all these things that come up, and it's always a fear. And it's always something that threatens one of our basic needs.
Tanya, I feel like every time I talk to you, you teach me something new. And it's always something that is a barrier breaker. Now, you and I have never worked together as client and expert or coach, but we've had chats. Mm-hmm. And I kid you not, each one has led me closer to charging what I'm worth and actually making the financial goals that I want to make each month. And I happen to be one of those people that sent you one of those lovely, look it, look at what happened this month, experience. So I just have to really, this isn't typically what we do in these, but for anybody who's, this is resonating with you, you need to get on a chat with Tanya. Because as I've said, I've never actually hired Tanya, but the woman keeps giving me all sorts of free stuff. That is just barrier breaking. I
be
can't
free, little birdie,
like if I actually hired you.
I love it.
So, but that said, I want to know, so you've been somebody for me that even on these free lovely chats that we've had, making a huge difference for me. Who do you turn to? Who's that for you?
I have several coaches and mastermind accountability buddies that I go to. And the funny thing is I actually have to come out and say, I'm having a mental block. Like, I need your help. Like mindset roadblock big time, because sometimes you need somebody else to help you get out of your own way. And the misconception is that because I'm a mindset coach, I don't have mindset problems. And it's totally untrue. Sometimes I'm aware, I know how to recognize them, but I just need to talk through them with somebody so that I can have them be the mirror and tell me how ridiculous I'm being and how this is just a fear. And it's a conversation that helps me work through my fears. So depending on what the fear is, I have different people that I can turn to. Sometimes it's my sister. She's the one that is brutally honest and doesn't walk on eggshells and tiptoe around my feelings at all. Like if anybody can be mean to me, it's her. So if it's something like, I know, all right, look, this is going to affect my life if I don't fix this. Tell me how to fix it. What am I doing wrong? I can say to her, I need your help. And she will give me honest feedback. So I think everybody needs at least one of those people in their lives, but more than one is ideal so that you can turn to and talk to them about the things that matter. So a business coach, so you can have business conversations, somebody that you can turn to for relationships, maybe somebody in the health department. So you know, every area of your life, you need to have that one go-to person that's a mentor and that will be your mirror.
Mm-hmm. And it brings it back to what you were saying before too, about needing those basic needs. So knowing that connection is not going to be lost with that person is going to be huge in how you choose that person for yourself.
Yep. Yep. And this is a person that also won't judge you. Mm-hmm. That is going to love you anyway. So whether you're paying them to love you, or it's just somebody that's close that you really do trust, that you are willing to be vulnerable with. So what's interesting is most people go outside of their home for this. Sometimes it's hardest to be vulnerable with somebody you live with. So if that's the case for you, you know, don't try to force something that isn't there. Let that relationship grow organically.
And I will say going outside of your house can sometimes be more cathartic. And Samantha knows this just because we're in constant connection all the time with each other. Like we're our business besties. But she knows almost all of the people I work with at one point or another, whether it's the first, second, or third session we have, they're always emotional. They're always vulnerable. They always come out of it crying, but in the best possible way, because you need to be able to be vulnerable and let those emotions out for you to be able to move on.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's once the emotions are released that you get to the real issues, mm-hmm. the real fears, you know, those things that are hiding in the back of your subconscious that you are suppressing for one reason or another. So it's the emotional breakdown that lets those fears out, those concerns, the real deal is hiding. And that's how you get to them. Mm-hmm. So healthy emotions. It's good. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I have, when it comes to healthy emotions too, it's so funny because women are more sensitive and they're more vulnerable to actually opening up. But what I found, at least in what I do, cause I'm a confidence coach, is men are the ones that are more, insecure about things. And when they're actually able to open up, oh my God, there's a world of things that, you know, has been stopping them and has been limiting them. And once they're able to let it go and get down to that real deal stuff, it's amazing what they'll be able to uncover and kind of move forward with.
Because there's honesty there. Mm-hmm. So when you allow yourself to get emotional, you're removing the resistance. You're you're taking the lies out of it. You're confronting the truth about what it is that's going on. And until we actually break down the walls to that resistance and are honest with ourselves, all we're doing is covering it up. It's a band-aid. Mm-hmm. It's for ignoring the problem. And same is true. Like if you're sick, you know, there's something going on. You've got this ache and it's been persisting and persisting and persisting and you're ignoring it, like hoping it's going to go away. You're popping aspirin every day. You're covering it up. It's a band-aid. And if you don't get it addressed, it's going to turn into a bigger problem, right? So by the time you go to the doctor, you've got it's stage 4 cancer. Don't wait that long. Address the issue. So if there's something that is bringing up negative emotions in you, if it's causing a negativity in your relationships, or if it's causing you to not make the money that you want, if it's negative emotions coming up in terms of competition. So like if you're on Facebook and you're scrolling and you're like, ew, you see your competitor and she's doing really well and you're like, I hate her, or must be nice for her, or you start thinking something ugly, there's a block there. Time to confront what's really going on. There's probably a fear. It probably means that you're supposed to be doing something that she's doing and you're not allowing yourself to do it. Mm-hmm. Or you're not putting yourself out there, or you're not raising your rate. So, it's like we're intuitive. We know what it is, but we're ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
By letting yourself get emotional, you're able to name it and figure out what that block really is.
Yeah. And it's also getting comfortable with sitting with that dis-ease in whatever's going on in your body. Because a lot of the times that negative emotion is also then impacted with some type of physical response, whether it's sucking in your stomach or lifting up your shoulders or tensing something in it. It's sitting with that and allowing it to relax to see really what's going on.
Absolutely. Yeah. If you're going to the chiropractor and the masseuse, way more than you should be. Right? What is going on?
Mm-hmm. Funny. I know you want to ask a question. I can see you.
She's got her, and her face is like,
yeah.
Do I say it? Do I say it? Say it. Say
no, it's because it comes. It came up earlier, and then it didn't quite fit in my transition. And I was like, how do I transition this now?
It doesn't have to be pretty.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we like to ask is how being different helped you succeed. But what I want to preface it with is what do you feel makes you different than others in your area, and then how does that actually help you to succeed?
Okay, so that's a two-part answer, I think. You know me, I'm like, oh, nothing's gonna be easy. So the two-part answer is I love the woo-woo stuff. That's the law of attraction. And I talk a lot about emotions and manifesting and your vibration, which tends to be a little on the woo-woo side. Because it's legit, it's scientifically proven, as woo-woo as it sounds, it works and it matters because we're all vibrational beings. But at the same time, I also really, really hardcore believe in action and strategy and meeting the universe halfway. So, I don't feel like if you sit in a corner and meditate and visualize and do your affirmations and are grateful that the abundance is going to come to you. Like you have to get up and physically do something and move. So I like to combine those two things, where a lot of law of attraction coaches or mindset coaches play in woo-woo land and they don't come into practical land. But then, the business coach side of me, who likes the practical land stuff, also knows that all hustle is bad for you, because when you're hustling, you're pushing. And when you're pushing, you're also pushing things away. So, there's got to be a healthy balance of, doing what you need to do to reach your goals and make things happen, but then actually sitting back, enjoying the present and what is happening, watching the fruits of your labor, blossom, and allowing abundance into your life, like in a healthy way by enjoying the journey. So I'm different in the fact that I make sure that both come together and play well together, and that I am super open with being vulnerable and transparent, and I have no filter. And sometimes that's a problem. I'm like, hey, there is like no skeletons in my closet. If you want to know it and I feel like it's going to be helpful for you, I will show you. I will tell you. I share my screen with all my clients. They see, I'll tell you all the stuff that I've been through, all the mistakes I made. And sometimes they're ugly and they're really embarrassing. But if you can learn from my mistakes and avoid doing that on your you know, on your own, then it was worth me sharing.
Mm-hmm. I feel like we need to be friends. I'm just going to put it out there.
We'll be BFFs.
You need to be at the Boss Mom Retreat.
I know, but we're moving that weekend. So
can't you move a different weekend?
No. we've already technically been quote unquote homeless for the last 17 days, and our gracious friends have been allowing us to stay in their house. So I feel like we need to get out.
Okay, well, there will be another one soon.
Yes.
Something else will happen soon.
Oh, yeah. And we'll all be able to meet up. No, but everything you've been saying, I'm like, I finally found someone who gets it.
Aw, yay!
Yeah, because at least with the coaching training that I've had, we've learned all about the woo-woo stuff and vibrations, and I'm a certified energy coach as well. So, like, everything that you're talking about, I understand and I love. But at the same time, I'm like you, I'm practical. You can't just sit there and think it will happen. There needs to be some type of work you put in. And like my favorite quote that I've learned so far over the last couple of months has just been, you get in what you put out. Like if you put in 20 hours of work, don't expect to make $200,000 unless you've really, really, really put in the work beforehand. Mm-hmm. So it's really all about that life being balanced and being able to take time for yourself, but at the same time doing enough where you know that you're going to be successful.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. And like, I just want to pick your brain and talk energy forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. I was going to be like, Sam, this is the new podcast. We're just going to, you can sit there and ask questions, but we're just going to talk about energy.
Oh, that is because it's so powerful. And I'm still learning so much about energy. Like I get the whole vibe and that part I totally do, but like the chakras and stuff, that's still on the spectrum of new for me. So very fascinating and interesting. Mm-hmm. Oh, we're going to have conversations about
that. I know we are. Sam will just FaceTime me at the Boss Mom Retreat.
It'll be like, you're there. Yeah. We'll get a little doll and we'll like tape the phone to the face.
Oh my God. Yes. Please get like a little teddy bear and just tape my,
and I'll just, you'll just be like on Skype the whole time.
Mm-hmm. I'll create an iPhone holder where like the phone is like the doll, and then we'll just make little outfits and have the arms come out.
We were like, what are you doing? We're like, this is Nicole. Say hi.
Duh. This is Nicole. Have you not met her?
This is my friend Nicole. She's not imaginary. She's real.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so awesome.
I know. So, okay, next question, because this kind of rolls into what we've been talking about with how you differentiate yourself and how you've been able to see success with that. How do you actually define success for yourself?
I define success as being free from worry and stress. So for me, it's having emotions throughout the day that are joyous and happy and fulfilling and positive, and living each day in that positivity. So if there's something that is pulling me away from that, then it means something isn't right and it needs to be fixed. So if there's money stress, which I am completely familiar with, have plenty of time. And when money is an issue and you're struggling or you're not making what you need to make or you want to make, it becomes a focus. And that definitely pulls focus from the good things in your life. And it is hard to focus on all that's good. Although we know that we need to, practice gratitude and appreciation and love what we have and where we are. But when, you know, there's debt collectors calling you, or, you know, you're risking having something shut off, or you're just feeling the weight of and the pressure of needing to hit a certain marker so that your husband gets off your back and starts calling your business a real job or a real business, you know, like any of those things, it's stress and it adds unneeded stress. And that's not success. You're not successful until that stress goes away and you get to a place where you're actually enjoying your day and you're excited to wake up in the morning and you're loving the people you're interacting with and you're able to shut it off and enjoy downtime with the people that mean the most to you. So that to me is success.
I feel like we need to send each of our guests like a mic, so at this moment in the episode, they can just go. Because this is where everyone has such different answers, but it is so empowering to hear how you define success, because it brings it back to those basic needs of what you want to be feeling each day and how you're able to then on that scale, see where you're at each day and what needs to be changed.
Yeah.
I feel like your answer was the simplest and truest answer that really encompasses everything that everybody else's definition of success is trying to encompass, but they're telling us more in the, and I'm not just talking about our guests, but anybody that we've talked to, but they're trying to bring in more of the, like, the things that will bring that to them versus really bringing it down to that very simplistic, well, all those things lead to the loss of worry and stress and not having that be a part of your life. Because, you know, people talk about like, oh, it's when I can go travel and I can do this with my family. Well, you can do that and you can have those joyous and happy and fun feelings and not have the worry and stress because, like, you know, it's like it all dives down into that. And I think that we all feel like that's what money brings us. It brings us the not have to worry or stress about things. So people will put money as that's success versus really looking at the base of all of the things that everybody says is success is the loss of the worry and stress.
Why so wait?
I love that because,
yeah,
you know, I've talked to people where, and I mentioned this in another episode, and the person I was talking about actually said, hey, I think you were talking about me. And we all know and love her. But her husband had said she was successful, and she didn't feel she was successful. And so her and I had a whole chat about whether or not she was successful. And the way I had broken it down at that point, because my definition of success for me was, what did I want to get out of being an entrepreneur? You know, I didn't set a money goal. I didn't say I wanted to be a millionaire. I said I wanted to be able to be home with my kids when I needed to be home with my kids. You know, I didn't want to have to answer to somebody on the days when there was a school holiday and there's not a business holiday, you know, and have to request time off or say, hey, I want to go on a family vacation. Can I? I didn't want to have to answer to somebody. And I wanted to be able to do it in a way that wasn't going to burden my family by not having the second income. And I've accomplished that. I may not be making millions, but I contribute to the family financially and I'm here with my kids and I get to do what I love doing. So for me, that's success. But it still falls under your very simple and true definition of, I just don't have to worry and stress anymore. I don't have to worry about answering to somebody else or not being able to get time off that I want off or not being able to be there for my kids or the stress that, all that worry brings about. So
I like
yours better.
You're there. You are there. Because Sam, what you basically just said is you want feeling. So you've dialed it down to the emotional reward of what success brings. It's freedom for you. It's freedom and the ability to feel somewhat significant, right? Like there's, I would say significance is in there because you're contributing. So that makes you a significant, you know, contributor into your family. And it's a feeling that feels good. And at the end of the day, most of us just want to feel good.
Oh yeah. So before we go on to our fun closing question, if you could give one tip to our listeners before we wrap up this episode, what is that one tip or piece of advice that you really would like to instill in them?
Be careful the thoughts you think as they become your reality. Do not say anything to yourself that you wouldn't say to your best friend.
Another mic drop moment. I love it. I do. I think, I think that is probably one of the most genuine, simplistic, but powerful answers we've heard on this show, because it, at the core of it, if you're telling yourself things that you wouldn't tell your best friend, you're inviting that type of energy and you're inviting those types of opportunities in without even realizing it.
Totally. We are our own worst critics. We are so mean to ourselves. And like, we wouldn't say half the things we say to ourselves, to the people we love, but shouldn't we love ourselves? Shouldn't we be that nice to ourselves? And that's kind of the whole self-love thing. If you don't love yourself and fill your own cup, how is it that you're going to have enough positive energy to give back to the people around you? You have to fill your cup with positivity first. And that comes in the way that you see yourself and the way that you talk to yourself.
Yeah. And it's allowing grace to come in too, because we give grace to so much not to so much, but we give grace to so many other people in our lives on, you know, what's going on. But it's also allowing ourselves to have that grace to know that we don't have to be these perfect entities. No one is perfect. And just because things might not necessarily be going right now in the way that you think it's going, you need to allow yourself to say, well, this is how it's going to be. So how can I change it?
Totally. 100%. And back to perfect. Can I just say, like, okay, if we go back to the human needs, you know, like once we've got the four basic ones down and like we've got love and connection and we've got significance, there is certainty and uncertainty in there, right? So if everything is perfect, it's boring. There's way too much certainty. Like we're going to end up doing something to mess it up. Guaranteed. Mm-hmm. How many of us, like everybody listening, right? Raise your hand. If things have been like so perfect and you're like, dude, we got to shake this up, get this party going. So like you do something just to rock the boat on purpose and that's not always healthy, but there's got to be some level of uncertainty. You pick a fight with your spouse or your boyfriend or your girlfriend or whatever, right? Just because like they just got boring all of a sudden, like I need a little reality TV in my life. Mm-hmm. And it's really just to get, everything is just too mundane. How do you say that word?
Mundane.
Is that how you say it? Like big words, it messed me up, but we need a certain level of that. So perfect, I think, is A, unrealistic, and B, just boring. Why would any of us want perfect? It means, that would mean that we've stopped growing. We've stopped.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. And for anyone out there, if you're feeling like you are too perfect, just go watch an episode of Vanderpump Rules. It'll really make you feel a lot better.
I don't know that one.
Oh, it's such a good show.
What is it?
Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules.
Have you watched any of the Real Housewives series?
No.
Oh man.
No, right. I live with boys. I have four boys in my house, and I don't, like, if you know the rules about remotes, girls don't know how to work them, apparently, is what they all think. I mean, I will be literally watching something and they just come in and change it like I'm invisible. It's Sports Center or nothing. Like I get nothing.
See, and my husband is prior military, so he just got out. So I'm used to him not being here. So it's been an adjustment of what I can watch and what he will allow me to watch, because he doesn't want that trash on. And those are his exact words.
That's, you know, I like Kardashians. So when they're all not home on a Sunday and I get to binge watch Kardashians, which they think is the stupidest thing in the world, I'm like, yes, they're not home. I'm watching like smut TV all day. Great. But no, so I'll have to sneak those ones in, try to check some episodes out.
I think too, after the Kardashians, isn't that show Total Divas on? And that's kind of been like my guilty pleasure lately.
Oh, no, see, I need some of this in my life, you guys.
Yeah. She's just shaking her head because she knows I'm a reality TV show junkie.
And I'm the exact opposite. The extent of my reality shows, the Voice was about the most I could watch, but even that I slowly phased out. And I think my all-time favorite one no longer exists, and it was on, I want to say it was on like the History Channel or one of those, but it was Top Shot. And I loved it, as much as I'm not like a huge gun advocate, but not that I'm anti-gun, I just, they're not for me. It was a reality show I could get behind, because as much as they tried to toss in the drama and everything, it basically came down to, can you make the shot? There was no judges. There was nothing like that. It was just, here are some tricky shots, go and make them. And the people who make them go on to the next round, you know? So I liked it because I was like, okay, so yeah, they try to throw like people talking smack about the other person in, but these are all guys and girls who are, you know, the sporty type that are kind of anti-drama, so it was kind of funny. But yeah, it was great and I loved it because it was just skill level.
I could see you on a show like that, like for some reason as you're talking, and this is on video, so I know not everyone else can see us, they can hear us, but I'm looking at you going, I could just picture you in like a total Catwoman type get out with some big old gun strapped to you
and literally like walking up to the line and being like, I've got this,
I'm a badass, watch me.
Okay, so that's kind of interesting. I'm trying to picture myself in that outfit. It doesn't.
I can totally see it.
Halloween outfit for next year. Check it out.
Like, you've got to be some gunslinging mama. Like, getting it.
Handed me a soccer ball, I might agree with you, but I'm not so sure about that. Slinging mama. My husband might enjoy it. He's been talking about trying to get me down to the shooting range, and I'm like,
you'll love it.
It's a lot of fun, I will say. I was against it at first, but that's just because I grew up in New York, and New York has really strict gun laws, so, like, we never had guns. We had baseball bats. So, I'm not kidding. Baseball bats. But when my husband, because, I mean, obviously my husband does a lot of stuff with guns, so when we got married, he started buying me my own guns and taking me to go shoot them, and it is such a stress reliever to be able to just stand at that, like, target and be like, dead, headshot, made it. I mean, it might take like 15 warm-ups to get it, but when you do, it just, it's a stress reliever.
Confidence booster. Mm-hmm. Like, you're like, oh, I feel good now.
Yeah, especially when you see the guys' faces, like, go off after a couple of shots, and they're like, damn, she's got it.
Yeah. I was the one that, I've only gone shooting once, but I want to go again. A friend of mine's got several guns, and we went, and we started with, like, the little baby, I don't even know what they're called, but, like, it was, like, a little baby one, mm-hmm. and so I could get used to it. I'm like, oh, I love this, you know, and then I'm, like Ice Cube in it, you know, gun to the side, gangster style. Like, check this out. He's like, Tanya, that's embarrassing. Don't do that. He's like, respect the gun. You have to hold it like this. I'm like, oh, boy. All right, fine. You know, and then we got to the bigger ones and, like, they were a little too much, a little scary. But, like, this is so, it just, what a release, and how you just feel kind of, like, powerful or something. Mm-hmm. You know, that you're just confident in learning a new skill and stepping outside of your comfort zone. And if you've never done it before, even if you're not a gun person, because it's like, hey, I just conquered that. That was kind of cool.
I think both of you hit it on the head for me on where it would be, because as much as trying new things is fun, I grew up, so I'm one of three girls. So my household was the exact opposite of yours, Tanya. My dad was the only guy. But my dad very much made sure that as women, we basically a huge feminist, like, to an extreme. It was anything a guy can do, you can do it, and probably better. Mm-hmm. So for me,
love your dad.
It would be more in the aspect of, like, doing something that's meant to be more of, like, a manly thing, and then doing it better than any of the guys there. Like, that would totally be the thing that would be like, yes, for me. So
see, now you have to.
Yeah.
You've just you've just said it on air. You've got to do it. And you've got to come back and be like, I did it. You have to get your little target and post it on Facebook.
Oh my God. I'm having so many ideas now of, like, retreat things, of, like, how to boost women's confidence, and getting my husband and his, like, army friends involved, and, like, showing them up. Like, so many different ideas now.
Not only that, women love a guy in a uniform. That's just sexy.
Exactly. I'm not kidding. When we were getting married, because my husband's from New York too, so, like, we were getting married right outside of Manhattan, and our wedding venue gave us a discount if we could guarantee three uniformed men would show up. It was awesome.
I love it. Yep. I mean, just for that, I think that they should come to every one of our conferences. They're invited.
Yeah. Yeah. They could just stand in the background with, like, the girly stares, just with the uniform, at attention.
Look sexy. Don't say anything. Mm-hmm. Just be eye candy. When is your conference? Because everyone listening right now is like, sign me up.
We'll have it at some point in the next year. I just have to figure out logistics.
Yes. Done. We're shooting guns and staring at hotties. Like, do we even need to learn anything there?
No, we don't have to learn anything. It's just, that's all it's going to be.
Staring at hotties.
You're going to go home feeling like a badass.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Yes. Love it.
All right. All right. So, fun closing question. If you were stranded on a desert island, what three items would you bring and why?
Oh, have mercy.
The way you say that is so perfect.
And now I'm thinking of John Stamos, but that's all right.
Am I allowed to have, is one of my items allowed to be a person, or am I, like, on my own?
No, it's whatever three items or people you would bring.
Oh, then I would just, like, it would have to be my family. Like, I'm going to say boring in my family. But my husband is a hunter and survivor, like, by nature. Like, he knows weird things about how to survive. So I'm pretty sure if he was there, then I wouldn't have to eat my arm or something. I'm pretty sure I could survive. probably something to do, like a never-ending Zappo lighter, like with like a ridiculous amount of fire liquid to start a fire. So like kerosene, gasoline or something, because, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to start a fire. So just in case, I think that'd be a good idea. I don't like raw fish and I'd want them cooked. And oh boy.
I was about to say, can we go back to the lizards part?
I know. I was like, I got the fish, but the lizards thing just went through. See, this is what happens when boys get to control the remote. I have to watch these survival shows and watch them like eat weird things and it grosses me out. And makes me want to go back. I was a vegetarian for a couple of years. And when I watch shows like that, I'm like, I think I want to go back to being a vegetarian because it's really grossing me out.
See, and I can't watch shows like that because my husband will then actually cop to the fact that he's probably eaten most of the things they're talking about.
Oh.
Yeah. And I then have to kiss that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Yeah.
So, oh, and then the third thing I think would be like a solar powered radio because I need music in my life. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to be on a desert island, like at least needs to be fun and kind of party-ish. So if I can, if I at least dance and have some music, it's going to be better.
That's better than Nicole's Wi-Fi. She somehow was going to take Wi-Fi with her. I'm not sure.
I was. It was like, it was Wi-Fi and like a never-ending supply of coffee and a laptop so you could FaceTime my husband. Because we've been married for 5 years now, and I think we've spent maybe 2.5 together just because he's been deployed. So I'm like, well, I'm already used to you being gone. So Wi-Fi, a laptop, and never-ending supply of coffee, and I'm good.
And we could just like FaceTime.
Yeah. And I mean, that's like, that's not a knock on our relationship. Our relationship's really strong, but like,
that's just to say how strong it is.
Yeah. Like I mean, he could just show me through FaceTime how to like kill and cut the things. So.
Oh, I know. Right. Let's hope that none of us ever end up.
No. Right. Yeah.
I'm going to hope that there's like a pineapple tree and berries and.
Well, here's the thing. If we end up on an island, let's hope the island's name is Aruba and there's service for everyone.
Yes. Then I wouldn't complain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm good. Just leave me there. Go home. Everybody, like, just good. The airport could shut down. I'd be happy. I could be bum. Yeah, that was a good curveball.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tanya. I think I've gotten my belly and cheek workout for the day. For show notes and more information about the episode, visit us at beautifullyboldpodcast.com. And to continue the conversation, join us over at beautifullyboldpodcast.com/Facebook. Thank you so much, and we'll see you again next week.
Let's get you leading beautifully and boldly in your life and business. Head on over to beautifullyboldpodcast.com for more information about this episode, show notes, and resources on how to be beautifully bold in your business. There you can also learn more about the two beautiful women behind the movement. If you liked what you heard today, then head on over to iTunes and leave Nicole and Samantha a review. It's the little things that can have a huge impact, and your review would mean so much to them. This music is provided by bensound.com.